Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of More Seriously, the podcast only for you. And if you haven't yet listened to the previous episodes, I would highly suggest you do so because they're amazing. And if at any point of the episode you feel like this is a good episode or something a friend or a family member of you should listen to and it helps them in any point of their life, feel free to share it with friends and family. I would highly appreciate that. And if it only helps one single person, then that is already what matters. Today we're going to have Goya as our guest, and we are talking about something actually serious. And for the people who are in the live stream right now, we are streaming the podcast every second Friday, so if you want to listen to it live, that is where you can do that. The links are all in the description, but people who watch the live stream right now will see that above me are all international suicide hotlines, because what we are talking about today is actually a very serious topic, which is why I think it's so important to talk about and something people don't really think about. What we're talking about is what happens when you're gone. What happens when you decide to cut the ties, when you decide to end it all, and how do people around you get affected? How do family get affected? How do your friends get affected? Things that you might not think about in that moment. So Goya actually had experiences in that, and he's going to share that with us today. Welcome, Goya. What's up?
Hey, everyone. Well, I guess nothing much, but this conversation, yeah.
Tell us a little about yourself before we're getting all serious in here.
All right. Most of everyone, I guess, knows me as Goya or Goyangi. I help you a lot with other random online stuff. And I like video games and whatnot. And horror movies.
Horror movies are great. Horror movies are awesome. So tell us, why are you on here today? What do you have to share with us? What happened?
All right. Well, I've had a few friends that I've known who have committed suicide, taken their life.
Oh, it was more than one?
One of my sister's friends, and I knew him by acquaintance, but...
Oh, no.
And then I have my own friend who tried, you know, off himself. And sad thing is, his birthday was not that long ago.
I'm really sorry. How long has it been since that happened?
Let's see. I was 22.
So it's been 7 years?
Yeah.
That's a long time. And you're still swallowing, kind of, when his birthday is around the corner?
Yeah, it makes me think of him. I actually have scars on my arm from our high school days together.
So. What happened?
Oh, we just played around really rough, and he had long fingernails, so kind of, you know, jabbed me a few times.
Wow, he played Wolverine.
Yes, pretty much.
Was he in any way back then depressive, or did anything indicate what he was about to do? Or was did no one notice?
Like back in the high school days, or back around the time he actually...
Both. Like, was everything okay before that, or?
Yeah. Usually, you know, to me, he was a very outgoing, uppity person, even though he liked a lot of, you know, wearing black and kind of the goth look. But usually he was very uppity and always had a smile on his face.
Mm-hmm.
But Then after high school, like about a year after high school, he joined the US Air Force, and he also had a kid with a girl
He left
and
behind a child?
multiple children.
No. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it was one night he was ranting a lot on Facebook about this life and how he kind of just wanted the escape. And
So he did share that on social media for people to see.
yeah,
Did
he
anyone react on that? Did anyone take it serious?
like me, like I always like sometimes he had a hard time, but he always bounced back. But that night he swallowed a whole bunch of pills and pretty much passed. And sad thing is, it was also Mother's Day.
No.
Yeah. So his mom took it really hard.
I can totally understand that. So, about the social media post, did anything happen in terms of that or?
Yeah, most people kind of played it off as this him being moody, 'cause he could be moody at times, but he usually always bounced back, and next day he would be smiling and joking around with everyone. But this does go to show that, the most happiest people can be the, most saddest
Yeah, most of the
let's look at.
time those yeah, most of the time that's the case. 'Cause I mean no one runs around written on their forehead, "I'm sad." So like
Yeah, it's like just look at, Robert Williams. Like he was, the international funny guy, but
Exactly.
yeah.
Most of the time, the funniest people are the ones that are the most depressed, sadly. But so no one took his social media post serious, and it just like was brushed off.
Yeah, pretty much everyone just, brushed it off. And but yeah, soon after he did his thing.
So he actually did warn people, kind of, or had like his scream for help, but people just didn't take it serious.
Yeah.
That is
So,
actually really, really sad.
yeah, it's like even I did the same thing. But so even if you think they're, just being moody, you should always, reach out and just
Yes,
be a
yes.
shoulder to lean on, or an ear to just hear their banter.
I agree. I agree. Even if it just seems like they are seeking for attention. If it turns out that they were only seeking for attention, then at least you tried to reach out for them, and in case it was not only seeking for attention, then you've been there to like help.
Yeah, totally.
How did he decide? You said he took a bunch of pills.
Yeah,
Did he
I
leave?
don't know what pills, but yeah, that's a whole bunch. He pretty much
Yeah.
just overdosed.
That is actually a very, very painful death. People always think it's going to be so easy. They're just gonna fall asleep or they're just gonna knock out and then that's it. But most of the time, that's not the case. Most of the time, you will feel extremely sick. Your body will try its best to get rid of whatever you just threw into it. You will feel nauseous. You will have the worst stomach pain and head pain, and you will destroy all your inner organs. And if you end up really dying from that and you're not being able to be safe from that, then 99% you die from inner bleedings because you literally just destroyed your organs. So that is one of the most painful deaths, even though it's one of the most popular one, if you can call it like that, because people think that's going to be the easiest, but it's not easy. None of the ones where you try to end it yourself is easy or not painful or pretty in any way. Did he leave anything behind for his family, his children, his, I don't know, people who meant something to him?
He really didn't leave much. He had a wife and like three children with him. He pretty much just left them.
Nothing for them, even though he was married and had children?
Yeah.
Wow.
And like how insurance works too, because you have to have insurance because the occupation he was in. But
his family doesn't get anything, right?
Yeah, because how insurance works, you know, he committed suicide. So,
I mean, as mean as it sounds, that's an important factor too, because if you have family, and most of us do, and they're not getting any money from you dying, as mean as that sounds, you are not only leaving them behind with a lot of pain, you are also leaving them behind with a lot of debts, because funerals and all those things is not expensive. Death is the biggest business in the world because it never stops, and they earn the most money with people dying, and it is the most expensive thing that you can imagine. So not only do you leave your family with a lot of pain, but also with a lot of debts that they have to cover on top of being sad and having lost a loved one already. So keep that in mind, that you are not only hurting the people around you, but you're also financially hurting them. So that's something I think a lot of people don't consider, how expensive funerals can be.
Oh, totally. And even if you tried and you don't succeed, then you have the hospital bills.
Yeah, on top of that is who knows how vegetable-like you get out of there. Because it's not just a vacation for your body, it's You literally tried to kill yourself and you don't know what you did to your body at that point. Some people will lose their arms or legs or whatever happened, or have if you take, for example, what happens a lot to people who try to kill themselves with medications, like throw in a lot of pills. What happens to them most of the time is, let's say you go for ibuprofen, for example. You throw in a lot of ibuprofen because you think that's the way to go. Most of the time what happens is that nowadays the pharmaceutical industry already knows that a lot of people try to commit suicide with medications. So they're already made that your body automatically starts to get rid of it. So you're starting to feel sick. But if at that point that doesn't help, you are actively completely destroying your liver. So what happens to you when you survive that is you are in extreme need of a new liver because you just destroyed yours. So you're either going to die from your liver dying inside you, or you are lucky enough to get a liver transplantation. And that's not funny either. And those are only, that is only one thing that can happen if you survive trying to commit suicide. There are way worse possibilities than that one, but keep in mind that you trying to commit suicide does not mean you succeed, and your life might be a lot worse after that than it was before. So how did his parents or friends react? What
well, of course, you know, his mother, who's a single mother, pretty much broke down really bad. She had his body shipped back here because
what do you mean shipped? What? He committed suicide in the military.
Yeah, he was still in the Air Force.
Oh wow.
And So they shipped his body back, and she held this, you know, big funeral memorial service type thing. And but yeah, you could tell because, you know, he died on Mother's Day too. So
I'm so sorry for his mother.
Slap in her face, pretty much.
Not only her face, also his mother's face. Like, you bear a child into the world, and it decides that life is so horrible that it takes its life on Mother's Day. I can't imagine the pain of losing a child. My parents can because my bigger brother died 6 days after birth. I didn't get to meet him. He would have been a year older than me. But yeah, even 26 years after, and him only being alive for 6 days, even 26 years after, every year on his birthday until the 6 days he was alive, we are having candles lit for him. So I can imagine that the pain of losing your child is a never-ending pain, and you never forget it, and it's not going to get better. You're just getting used to it, and you're hoping that your child is at a better place. But I can see with my parents, 26 years, and they are still every single year lighting candles for 6 days for my brother to find its way to visit his family. So it's not something that just goes away. You're hurting your parents and family a whole bunch, even if you think they do not care. They put you in the world for a reason. If it was an accident or not, they decided that having you was a blessing, and that they wanted to have you, and that they wanted to care for you, and it's going to be a lot of pain, even if you think it wouldn't. So,
yeah.
On Mother's Day, on top of that, that must be horrible. But how old were his children back then?
Okay, so you had one he had at in senior year, and so they would have been between 1 year old and four.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many children did he have?
He had three.
Wow. So, with 4 years old, you do notice your daddy's gone. How did they take that? I mean, phone, I wasn't talking to you. Thank you. the youngest one, I probably didn't really realize it, but the oldest one, did they at some point realize daddy's not coming back?
Yeah, you know, they're still young, but he, you know, kind of, you know, crying and at the memorial thing, yeah, he's like, "Where's daddy?" So yeah, that kind of.
Oh my god, that sentence hurt more just now than I imagined it would. God, what are you supposed to answer your child if it asks, "Mommy, where's daddy?"
Yeah, I remember I was with him as well the first time he changed his diaper.
So, my God.
Yeah, I had to try not to cry. So,
yeah. Did he ever show any signs of, except of that social media post, any signs of depression or that he's suicidal? Because I mean, that doesn't happen from one day to the other. What was going on there?
He really didn't allow most people to see him at his weakest until, you know, it pretty much was too much for him.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time he would show, you know, a more happy, you know, mask, I guess it was. And, but, It pretty much was like one day, like he was just really depressed, and
Do you know the reasons? Like, what did he have a hard time with?
I knew him and his wife were, kind of arguing at the time too. And then he had, military deployment stuff and all the kids, having to, do stuff for the kids while working and in the military, you don't know where they're gonna ship you off. So every
Yeah.
time you move,
Your
if
family has to move too.
not all the time, but if it's going to be like a long deployment, then you have to get, bring the family too. Say if you're going to be there for like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, that's what I've read about a lot, that like children have to move around a lot because of their parents being like working at the military and stuff.
Yeah. So it can be, hard like that,
Yeah,
but
but of course manageable. Like,
yeah. But I guess he couldn't like handle a lot of the stress and a lot
yeah.
of the responsibilities, and it pretty much hit me off guard too, but
Do you think therapy or anything like that would have helped him through that? Do you think there would have been a solution for him?
I think, therapy, nothing, a lot of people are kind of weary of therapy, and they are kind of push it, 'cause like I don't need that. Like it's always good to have, someone to talk to, someone to listen to you and give, valuable, constructive criticism. To help you, because they say, oh, you need this, you need that. They're not, trying to banter you. They're trying to help you. They're gonna criticize you, and it's like you should have done, this better, or you should
Oh,
have.
most of the time, therapists don't even tell you like you should have yada yada yada.
Yeah.
They like try to naturally lead you into the way where you are able to succeed yourself. So they're
Yeah.
not gonna tell you like you gotta do this and this and this to change your life. They are like your parent, but better in that point because your parent has their point of view and their position, and they don't really have the position to like say all the things a professional could say. But a professional therapist will try to bring you to the point where you have the power to overcome those situations yourself. So they will help you to strengthen yourself and not be like, there's not a therapist sitting in front of you and gonna be like,
Yeah.
so, how did that make you feel? And I think that
I've
has to
had
do
one
with
that
your
said that.
childhood. Like, you must have had a really bad childhood. That's not what every therapist says, so.
Yeah, some do though. Some
Some
do.
do. But therapists are like people. If you meet people, some
Yeah.
of them you like and some of them you don't. So you have to, just because you go to one therapist and that therapist is, you just don't click with them, that is perfectly fine. It can take a while until you can find a therapist that is really able to cater to your needs, if you want to look at it like that. So, first of all, getting therapy is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of and nothing bad at all. I think everyone at some point in their life should go to therapy because it is very, very useful and helpful to
Yeah.
your emotional growth, the growth, not growth, to your emotional growth. So if you
Yeah.
have problems or not, I highly suggest to get therapy at some point in your life because just getting to know yourself a little bit more, I think, is very, very important. And if you do decide that you do need professional help on some spots in your life, I highly suggest getting out there and get it. And there's nothing to be ashamed of about that because I think taking the first step and trying to get professional help and trying to work through whatever you are struggling with is the biggest step you can take. From there on, it can only get better because you are having the strength and the power to say, yep, I'm going to fight against this. I'm not going to accept where I am in life. I want to change this up. And as stupid as it sounds, and you shouldn't consider this, but like, try to like keep it in mind a little bit and make sense when I explain it. You can always like end it afterwards, you know what I mean? But why not try to work through it? Why not try to improve it? Why not give it a chance before you decide to like throw yourself off a bridge, you know what I mean? Did you?
And it hurts. Throw yourself off the bridge.
Yes, yes. I mean, I don't speak out of experience. I never threw myself off a bridge, but I can't imagine it hurts.
So, you know, there's a hard and sudden stop at the end.
I can tell you what, you saw it coming. Do you think, after that, do you think his reason for ending his life was reasonable? Or do you think it could have been worked on?
I think it could have been worked on. I don't suggest anyone to end their life.
Amen.
Because, you know, you matter.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to everyone. You matter. Everyone matters. I love you. You should love yourself.
And the love from strangers is the most unconditional one, because we have no reason or use of giving it. Like, there is nothing we want in return, and that makes it so genuine. Genuine. I can't English. That makes it so genuine and valuable, because we are all in this together. We are part of a society, part of a community, part of something bigger. And you are not alone in this. Absolutely not. And there is nothing shameful and nothing bad about reaching out and asking for help. Maybe professional help. It may be your friends where you're opening up to. It may be your family you're opening up to. Whoever you are deciding to open up to. And if that first person you are deciding to open up to blocks you out, do not give up. Do not give up. There are people who do want to help you and who are there to help you and who will help you through it. Because no matter where you're stuck in life, life's not easy, and the grass is always greener on the other side, and it always looks like other people have it so much easier and you're the only one being stuck in this. But we're doing this podcast because of this, to show you that you are not alone in this, that you are able to get through this, and that there are possibilities and solutions for you to work through this and have the life you want to live. Because we all want to have a happy life. But a happy life, being happy, is not a long-term thing. As in, like, you don't do one thing and then you achieved happiness. Happiness is all the little things you continuously try to work on. And all the things you continuously try to work through, they will make you happy. So do not be ashamed to reach out for help. I think reaching out for help is something you can be proud of, actually. I think admitting that you do need help and admitting that there is something you are not able to get through yourself is actually very strong, and that's something you should be proud of.
I agree. And remember, almost every country around the world has a suicide prevention hotline. So if you need someone to talk to, feel free to call one of those numbers.
Yep, those suicidal hotlines are not therapy, though, so do not confuse that. But those suicidal hotlines are for when you're really at the edge and you are about to do it. Take a moment, take a breath, think about it, dial one of these numbers and talk to somebody. And if
they, you know, they can help talk you down.
Exactly. You will calm down. It will be okay in that moment. And then take the step and get professional help. Because you can't get through it. If someone can bring you down from deciding to take your life right before you were about to do it with one of these numbers above me, someone will also be able to help you through it. It's possible. It's definitely possible. And you can do it. We all can do it. So take a breath. Dial one of these numbers and you will be okay. I promise you will be okay. But now to the important part, which is what I think most people don't think about when they're about to take their life, or most people don't think about when they are taking their life, is what are you leaving behind? How does it affect people around you? Because at the moment you're about to take your life, you probably think, yeah, no one's gonna fucking care anyway. Sorry for that word. But that's probably what you think in that moment, that you don't matter. No one's gonna care anyway, and no one's going to notice when you're gone is probably what goes through your mind. But how did his family react after that? How does his friends react after that? What happened? How was the funeral?
Yeah, well, to me, all funerals are pretty much the same. You're mourning someone and trying to celebrate their life. But yeah, the family were, very quiet. I think a lot of families probably are ashamed to have a suicide in their family for some reason. It's like, yeah, it's sad and
I mean, yeah, they have to stick up for that. Like, why did that happen? And most of the time, the family doesn't know because the child didn't open up about it. And then it's like other people being secretly a little judgmental about she didn't even know. What a mother, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people do are kind of
Yeah, which
judgmental
is
about
so not
suicides.
okay in that moment. Not at all.
Even like religion-wise too, a lot of religions frown upon suicide as well. And they're like, oh, you're going to be damned because, you killed yourself.
So if you're a religious person, also not a good thing to do. Because God knows what happens to you if you're a religious person. If you're not a religious person and those are not things that you consider real or that cross your mind at all, that is perfectly fine as well. But there are real things that do exist that get affected by you leaving. So, how did you feel?
Once I heard about that, I kind of like shut down like all emotions. This were gone from my face, and I sat thus somewhere quiet in solitude, and then my mother actually came up to me and was like, "Are you okay?" And then I just pretty much broke down in tears.
That
And
was your answer, I guess.
I probably smoked like two packs of cigarettes that
Very
day.
healthy, very healthy. Good
Yeah,
job.
I was very distraught. Like, I hear about suicide all the time and whatnot, and it doesn't affect me. But when it's someone you know and someone that you're somewhat close to, you kind of hit, it'll finally hit that you're never going to see them again. You're never going to talk to them, unless you talk to them in your head, of course. But
You should know that's not real. That's another problem. Those voices in your head should not be there. If there are some, please seek professional help. If you think those are that's not your own thoughts that
But that's also a part of grief, which is denial. Because, most people are like, yeah, this is not going to happen. And then, the stages of, grief come up, and it's like, bam, it hits you, and you're distraught. And it's like, that, I was pretty much distraught for, for about a week and a half, and pull myself together, talk to my other friends, made sure they were all okay as well.
Well, you're all
And
like a circle of friends, so they were affected as well.
so I didn't want, act two to happen, because grief can also be a very dangerous thing. So if you can't handle your grief,
Get
also talk to
professional
someone.
help. Yes. Not only for the people that are about to take their life or that are thinking to do this, if you are one of the people who got affected by someone around you who took their life and you are not able to work through the grief and to work through the pain, definitely get professional help to do that because it is okay to be sad and it is okay to grieve about it, but if it takes too long and if it drives you into depression because of that, definitely seek out for help, because that is something very dangerous and you should talk to someone about it that is professional in that spot. So definitely reach out for help if you are affected by someone that ended his life. Very, very important to do that. It's not something to joke about, not something to just brush off your shoulder. If you are really having trouble to go through that, get professional help. So, it's been 7 years now, you said, right?
Yes.
Are you still in contact with any one of his family members, his children, or his wife?
Actually, I'm not. I probably should, but they've kind of distanced themselves from a lot of the social media and stuff.
Understandable. And,
of course, changing numbers and moving around. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I remember running into his mom about a year ago, and, you know, we chit-chatted for a little bit. I can't remember for the life of me what we talked about, but, you know, it was nice catching up with her and, you know, mm-hmm. seeing she's doing okay.
That is good to know. But so even 7 years after that, you're still struggling around his birthday, because it still affects you even 7 years after that, right?
Yeah, like his birthday is like, thank you, Facebook, for reminding me, pretty much. Because, he still has, like, a Facebook account. Like, you know, they sometimes set those up as, like, memorial account,
I think it's just sad. I think not only sad, something about it I find a little creepy, to be honest. Because I've seen some parents, like, keep posting stuff on their children's Facebook. And I just think it's a little creepy. That might just be me, but... Yeah.
Oh, and they have those QR codes for gravestones now that you can scan and watch videos of people. Yeah.
That's a thing?
Creepy. Yeah.
Oh, that is... I don't know. I mean, having something of those people that remind you of them, like pictures and videos yourself, perfectly fine. But I don't know. I don't want to walk around, like, gravestones and scan them and see videos of them. I think that's something that should be kept for people that know that person and who, like, belong to that person. I don't want to go around, like, and see QR codes on grave. On top of that, it looks so tasteless having a QR code on a tombstone. Like, I just think it's absolutely tasteless, and it doesn't fit to it at all. That might just be my opinion. Maybe I'm just not modern enough for that, but I don't know. In my opinion, a gravestone has, like, a saying, most of them do, or, like, we'll miss you, things like that, and then their names and the time they lived and maybe a picture. But a QR code, what? Is he going to have, like, a coupon code with, like, pages he's been in partnership with during his life? That's just, like, you know, it just doesn't fit. It's a little bit tasteless, in my opinion.
I totally agree. I'm trying to think. Was it epigy? I think that's the word you're thinking of. What's the sayings on the gravestones? But yeah,
some of them here in Spain have that with, like, just nice sayings or stuff that, like, reminded them of that person and things like that.
Like, here lies, you know, so and so.
Yeah, exactly.
Loved mother of so and so. Who loved her neighbors or something like that.
Yeah, something just about them. So to roll it up a little, what would you like to let people know who play with the thought of committing suicide, and what should they know what they're going to leave behind?
All right. What I want everyone to know is, like, that they matter, you know. And if they still think, after hearing me say that they matter, that they still want to end it, try to find some help. There's numbers, there's therapists, there's even, if you're too afraid to go by yourself, there, you know, there's other people who probably feel like you. There's group therapy as well. There's all sorts of help out there. You just have to ask for it.
And ask and you shall receive.
Pretty much. But yeah, and if you do, you're leaving behind your friends, all your debt, your family members, if you have children, your kids, you know, your pets,
anything,
your porn browser Everyone. History.
You're not going to be able to hide that anymore. Your mom's going to find it.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely seek for help. And there are a lot of affordable options online too. I mean, I'm not partnered up with BetterHelp, but I would love to, just putting it out there. Because if you do not know what BetterHelp is, BetterHelp is a website with professional therapists that will help you. And it's very affordable, which therapy is not. One-on-one sessions can be around $250 to $300 per session. And most of the time, you're not done with just one session. You want to have someone to talk to when you need to talk to someone, and you don't have the cash lying around throwing $250 to $300 at someone. So what BetterHelp does is, on top of that, BetterHelp is online, so you can reach out for help everywhere. You don't even have to leave your house if you're at the point where you don't feel like you're able to leave your house, because it just seems so impossible at that point. And I can totally understand that. Sometimes you're just stuck there and you're like, nope, I just can't. I can't get out of bed. I can't get it out of my house. I'm just not able to. So BetterHelp, on top of that, is from the internet. So you can do it from your phone, from your PC, wherever you have internet connection. You will get connected with a therapist in a one-on-one therapy over chat or video or call, whatever might be possible or better for you. And it has a one payment system. So you pay one payment per month and you have unlimited therapy sessions, which is incredible. I think that is an absolutely awesome system. Not partnered with them, would love to, but with nevertheless, I think it's important to mention that, because I think that system is just so great and so helpful to people who really need help but struggle with getting out of there and struggle with maybe your depression, maybe being anxious or socially awkward or what it may be. Having that online is just mind-blowing and absolutely awesome, and I think that is one really good way of using the internet. So if you are in need of being able to pay for therapy sessions, because they can be so expensive, and if you're not able to get out of your house, or you're just traveling around a lot, who knows what job you're working at, BetterHelp is really, or something like that. I just know BetterHelp, for example, because I've read a lot of good reviews about them. I've heard about a lot of people getting into therapy there, and they're having absolutely good experiences. So I do think that's a really amazing site to suggest. BetterHelp, definitely check it out. I would do it totally, because it's affordable, it's convenient, and it's absolutely helpful. So would highly
and
suggest
usually,
that.
If you do have insurance, your insurance usually covers therapy, so
I know in Europe it does. So if you're living in Europe and you are, I mean, you are supposed to be insured in Europe. But the only thing you have to do in Europe, if you are not sure about how that works, you have like your main doctor that you go to, and you will tell him, hey, I'm having troubles with this and this. Could you send me to a therapist? And then you will get like one of these papers where he will send you to your therapist, and then it is covered from your insurance. If you walk, most of the time, I don't know if it's in every country in Europe like that, but most of the time, if you walk directly to a therapist, you will have to pay. But if you go through your main doctor, who is like your, the one supposed to sending you to like to your gynecologist, to your whatever you, well, you're not going to a gynecologist, Goya, but the women out of there might. So that doctor sending you to those will also send you to a therapist, and then it's covered by insurance. So if you're living in Europe and you're insured, which 100% in Europe you are, you don't have to worry about paying. It's going to be covered by insurance. But I know people living in the States, not everyone is insured, or not everyone is as highly insured that therapy is covered. That's why I think BetterHelp is a good decision, because it's very affordable. Yeah.
And all insurances are different here, so it's weird. But my insurance covers it.
That's amazing to know, though. That's awesome. You're making use out of it, don't you?
I have used it before, yes, for therapy. So, yeah.
That's amazing. I think, if you are not sure if your insurance covers it, definitely inform yourself about that. And there are, like I said, BetterHelp was just one thing out there. I bet there are other things too. I just know about this one. So there are possibilities where you are able to afford it. And I think they even have, if I remember right, I read through their website, and I think they even have sponsorships where if you're in a certain life situation, or your parents are unemployed, or situations where you're just not able to financially get therapy, you can get sponsorships on there. So I don't know if it's called sponsorships, but you know what I mean. So if you're lucky and you're in a really bad situation in your life, you maybe don't even have to pay for therapy, which is absolutely amazing. So definitely check it out. Inform yourself how you can afford therapy, and if you even have to pay for therapy, because sometimes you don't even have to, and the only thing that's holding you back is you. So yeah, what we are doing now is we are hopping over to chat, because for the people who did not know yet, we are recording the podcast on a live stream on Twitch, and after the initial interview, we add a few questions out of the chat. So user Simply Hella was asking, what made me decide to talk about this topic? Actually, I was not personally affected, but back then in high school, I must have been 14, 15, probably around that. Someone in another class who I was not having classes with took their life. And I've known friends, like we had the same friends kind of, but I never really crossed paths with that girl that took her life. But I know from my friends that her boyfriend had an incredibly tough time. Her best friends had an incredibly tough time. Her parents had an incredibly tough time. And actually, the worst thing that could have happened. She was thinking that no one cares about her and she doesn't matter, and she decided to end it because no one would notice that she's gone anyway, pretty much. And it turned out that obviously she did matter to people, and her family loved her and her friends loved her, and just a lot of things went completely wrong for the people around her after she was gone. Her best friends kind of thought it's their fault because they did not notice that she had such a hard time, and they couldn't handle the grief, and they couldn't handle feeling like it's their fault. So one of their friends, I've heard actually a little while back, it's not that long ago that I've heard that her friend actually died from a drug overdose because one of her best friends just couldn't handle it and jumped into the drug alley, if I may call it like that, to handle the grief and the pain and the thought of that it was her fault, and as the best friend she should have known. So she ended up being a drug addict because of that, and it didn't go well for her either, because her friend took her own life. And her parents ended up divorcing because her father couldn't handle the pain at all, because he also thought that it must have been his fault. He didn't notice that his sweet daughter had such a hard time, and they always thought she was such a happy child, or it must be puberty they're going through and things like that. So her parents ended up divorcing because he ended up having an alcohol problem that was his coping mechanism to trying to get through the tough time of losing his daughter and thinking it was his fault, and as the parent, he should have known, or he should have helped, or he should have done anything. So that kind of made me think that most probably, this sounds like a movie, but I think that happens probably more than you can imagine, because people around you and your family, your best friends, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever might be close to you, get very affected by that. So not only did she end her life, she also kind of ended her best friend's life, because she ended up being a drug addict and died from that. And her parents ended up divorcing themselves because of losing their own child and the dad getting an alcohol problem. So that made me think that that's just happening to a lot of other people too. And I think a lot of people playing with the thought of committing suicide do not think about what might happen to their family or friends. And I think that's something very important that you should keep in mind, that you are leaving behind a lot of pain. A lot of pain. She's also been asking, also for those that are peers and friends of those that you think may be considering suicide, it is important to be direct with the person and directly ask them if they're considering it. I agree with that. I agree. What would you say, Goya?
I agree with that, because it kind of does catch them off guard at first, because, you know, a lot of people won't be direct in asking questions like that, but it's good to be direct on a subject like this, because then you know where they stand. It's like, if they're just, you know, if they're just being, you know, moody, they'd be like, no, I'm not thinking of that. I'm, you know, just in a slump. Or they'd be like, yeah, I've been thinking about it for a while. And, you know, then you can help them, you know, grow and, you know, mend themselves to be better and maybe not be suicidal.
Yeah. I think if you have the feeling that a friend of yours is playing with the thought, which most of the time most people don't notice, but if you think you kind of caught a glimpse of that, definitely speak up about it. To just straight up speak up about it, but speak up about it in a kind and calm way, because you never know what putting that out in the world might affect in a person that's already so fragile that they might break. You know what I mean? So if you are not sure if you should directly speak about it, definitely be a shoulder they can lean on. Let them know that you're there and that you care and that you listen. And don't try to push any decisions or anything you think might be better for them or might be the right way to go or the right decision. Most of the time the people have to find out their way themselves, but you can help them find their way. So definitely let your loved ones know you love them, as cheesy as it sounds. Let your loved ones know you love them. She also said, it is super important to be direct and also think about it, because once it's asked, it becomes a real thing and they can really think about it. Also, don't act relieved if the person says no, because that can make them feel bad if they were thinking about it, and they probably won't come to you ever again to talk about it. Yeah, I agree. Don't joke about it, but also don't take it too lightly.
Yeah.
Because, totally, yeah, and obviously no one's going to say, like, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about just now. How did you know?
But always reassure, you know, people that are, you know, kind of depressed or whatever, that you're always there for them. You know,
yeah.
Be a shoulder to lean on, you know, an ear to talk to, you know, just to listen, you know, someone to, you know, help you get your thoughts straight. No, there's someone that's there for them.
Yeah, exactly. Through good and bad times.
One for all and all for one.
Woohoo! I would say that rolls up today's topic, doesn't it?
I think, you know, we're about finished with the topic, yes.
Would you like to let the people know anything else, anything you think is important that they should keep in mind before they click out?
I want everyone to know I love you.
Aww. That was actually so sweet.
And I really have to pee.
That was less sweet, but thank you. Thank you.
You don't have to keep it light.
keep it light. Yeah, keep it in. Don't let it flow, please. I'll let you go. Thank you for being on today's episode, Goya.
Well, thank you.
And thank you guys for listening. We will roll it up for today. If at any point of the episode you felt like you want to share this with friends or family and you think it's important for them to listen to this, definitely share it with friends and family. I would appreciate it. They would appreciate it. If it helps just one person, that is all that matters. And if you're really feeling at the edge of like jumping, definitely call the suicide lines. I have international suicide lines right above me. I will also get them in the info box of every podcast wherever you are listening to. So just open the info box and search for your country. You definitely reach out for help if you need it. Thank you for listening today, and I will see you in our next episode. Zoop!